me now is Travis Thompson with Climatech of Professional Air. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, I'm excited because, first of all, it's like a mini reunion. Haven't seen you in a while. You've been a weary traveler.
It has been. It's been a crazy month. Been a little bit all over the place, but it's good to be back, and I don't have anywhere to go for a while.
Okay. Very good. There we go. But you're here, and tell me. Well, we'll get to any kind of specials and everything in just a second, but I want to know, with all of the weather change, right, are people prepared to turn on their heat, or is there anything people can do when they're about to crank that up?
Good question. We actually are training. We do training every Tuesday morning, and we went over a few of these things with our guys. Just to refresh, you know, some of the newer guys may not have heard it. The older guys probably sat there and rolled their eyes back in their head. But, we definitely got – the first thing I would mention is odors. You know, you've got a unit. The AC's been running. Whether you've got a gas furnace or electric heat pump, whatever you might have, we get that first cold snap and the heat does kick on. You get that burning smell, you know, the burning off smell, which most people are accustomed to.
But I actually like it.
Well, some people do. It can be.
It's very nostalgic.
Well, it reminds you that it's winter, that's for sure.
A change in season. Yes, I like that.
But if you get excessive buildup, we have even had cases where people's smoke alarms went off due to that. It can happen if it's a heavy buildup. If that's a case, you may need to check your filtration system, but can happen. So the odors, the other thing that we get a lot of this time of year coming up is a dirty sock syndrome. And we get a lot of calls about a smell coming from the vents that literally smells like a basket full of wet clothes or dirty socks. It is a very distinct smell, because when you describe it and people, when you say dirty sock, people are like, yep, that's it. It just smells, it's a bacteria that is actually on the coils of heat pumps. And once it's on there, what happens is when the unit starts shifting from heat to cool and back and forth, like we're fixing to do this time of year, you get a lot of people call in about this. It's actually a pretty big deal that have this syndrome going on. And the coils can be cleaned. It can be dealt with. But that's something to be aware of. If you do start getting that smell this time of year, it can be coming from your air conditioning systems. Because a lot of people don't know. They're looking for something in their house. They start smelling this. And
you
like,
think like an animal or something.
And about the time you start looking for it, the smell kind of dissipates and goes away. Because it does go away fairly quickly. But you get that dirty sock smell, and it's actually coming from the coil of your AC system on a heat pump. It will do that.
So what is it again? What could possibly be building up?
It's actually from everything I've studied, and it's funny. I've got a customer who's a very good customer, and he's a scientist. He's retired now. And he actually investigated this for me years ago, back before there was really a lot known about it. I was explaining to him what was going on, and I mean, he took it and ran with it. He's retired. He just loved it. He thought this was the coolest thing.
Fine.
And it's not, you know, a lot of people get offended almost when you say it's a bacteria, like I'm not a dirty person. It has nothing to do with a dirty house, a dirty person. It follows just some kind of strange pattern that we can't really pinpoint, but it's a bacteria growth on the coil that you can't see it. It's just there. And what happens is when it goes from that heating, that hot coil to a cold coil, that bacteria puts off an odor that is just like dirty socks, and that's what you smell. And it's
nasty.
Odd. And people hate it. Yeah, it's definitely not something you want to live with. Because if you're running cooling all the time, you'll never smell it. You'll only smell it when you start going back and forth from heating to cooling. So if that smell's present, we can deal with it. But, you know, just let us know.
Does it cost a lot of money, though, to do something like that?
Typically not, because as long as the coil is not dirty to the point that we need to remove it from the unit and clean it, we've got things we can put on it in place and not have to do a very expensive, elaborate cleaning in order to get it to stop.
So, okay.
Yeah, it's not
very
typically
good.
A very expensive. Now, if we get there and the coil is, you know, impeding airflow and things like that, there's other things to deal with. But if it's just the smell, we can usually deal with it fairly inexpensively.
All right. Well, that's always good news right there, Travis. And Travis Thompson is here from Climatech of Professional Air. 850-437-1620 is the studio number to text or to call. We love hearing you call in, ask your questions. It looks like tonight we're going to dip down into the actual 40s. Mm-hmm. And I know that scares some Southerners just a little bit. That's okay. My blood has been boiled to the thinnest, and so I get very chilly. That's why I'm over here in my beanie and my sweatshirt. I have a jacket. And so There's no shame. It's all right. But if you're thinking about it, it also looks like we're going to get some wet weather, some rain.
Good.
Should you hold off when it gets wet?
No.
No?
No, you shouldn't have anything to worry about. I mean, the only time a wet condition and cold don't go together is when we get to the point of ice, which we very rarely see. So no, the wet conditions should be fine. Kind of brings up another point we went over Tuesday that, you know, a heat pump system does a defrost. And, and if you've got cold conditions and wet conditions, the way that heat pump works, the outside coil actually starts to frost over with ice. Obviously, if we get down, you know, close to 32 degrees, the coil outside has to be colder than the ambient temperature, so it develops ice. So the units are designed to defrost themselves, and what happens when they defrost is the outside fan turns off, and the hot gas that we were using to heat the house is temporarily shot into the coil outside. So that causes steam. So we get a lot of calls this time of year. It's got to get a little colder than this, but that my outdoor unit's on fire or something's not right. My fan motor quit and it's smoking. That's a defrost cycle. So if it's real cold outside, you notice the fan motor not running and you've got steam or what looks like smoke coming from the unit, that may be perfectly normal.
Okay.
Just something that we don't see it a lot. So
don't panic.
When it does happen, yeah, we do have that call where people think their outdoor unit's on fire. So we try to, you know, we don't want to go out for nothing, just trying to educate to know kind of what to expect.
Well, yeah, if you're not used to seeing it, then of course it's going to be a little alarming the very first time.
Correct.
And so my kids, whenever the water boils and they see steam, they automatically think the water's on fire. And every time I have to explain this, we're going to get it one day.
Okay.
We're going to get it. So, but hey, if you don't see it a lot and you see the steam coming off, you might end up turning it on tonight. Because tomorrow it looks like it's going to be about 43 degrees. And it's going to be in the 40s pretty much every evening. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it gets a little chilly.
For a while.
The colder it is, the better I sleep. So I'm okay with the chill.
Right.
But if you're not, you might get ready to turn on your heat.
Yeah, and this weather here, you won't get into your heat strips on a heat pump, have backup emergency heat strips. You shouldn't get into those, so I don't think anybody would smell that. And you probably won't see the defrost much either. So those things probably won't come into play till we get to the 30s.
Right.
But just tips for people to know, you know, something that's going to, they can expect it.
Okay. All right. Here's a question, and it's very simple. How do I know if I need to replace my heat pump? Will I have to turn on my system first in order to check?
Well, it's hard to say when you would know when to replace it. You know, if your unit is, say, 15 years or older, you would probably want somebody to come out and take a look at that to give you the recommendations. And the other tips, I guess, that might lead you to know something's going on in the cooler weather is if you are using those emergency heat strips, especially before we get into really cold weather, that's an indication that your heat pump is not doing a very good job of heating the house. Therefore, it's relying on those heat strips, which are going to send you a pretty costly power bill. So we get stories every year with, you know, unexpected $500-$600 power bills and even higher than that, where the heat strips have been taking care of heating the house. And that's kind of the oddity with a heat pump. When your air conditioner's broke, you know it because there's no backup. When a heat pump breaks, the heat strips will gladly kick on and heat the house, and they do a fine job. Then you get a power bill, and it's, oh, man, now what? So that energy consumption is definitely a sign of things to come. If you start getting really high power bills when we go to the heating season, you would definitely want to have something checked out because it shouldn't take a whole lot to heat your house around here. I mean, the solar gain in the day does its job. You're really only running your heat at night, which your air conditioner is the opposite. So, you know,
if you
start seeing raised power bills, that's a really good indicator, I guess, to, you know, you might need to replace it if it's, you know, 10, 12, 15 years old.
Okay.
It may be time to start looking at it.
All right. Keep an eye on the Gulf power bill. See if there's some issues when you, you know, are getting those bills each month. That's actually probably a really good idea anyways, to keep an eye on and see what fluctuates.
Yeah, because your energy consumption in your house, I've seen different reports, but, you know, 50% is kind of a rough ballpark. It's probably going to be your air conditioning system. And that changes in households depending on if you've got gas appliances and whatnot. But it's a large chunk of your power is your energy on your AC. So if you start seeing that fluctuate, that's a good indicator to look at the AC.
Very good. Thank you for that, Travis. Those little tips. I know you love helping people not just be able to stay cool or stay warm-ish, but also with the energy savings and being able to help individuals just, you know, stay comfortable not only in their homes, but also in their wallets year round. Mm-hmm. And so we appreciate that. And speaking of which, do you have any promos happening this month at Climatech?
We actually don't have any promos right now. We've got our regular promos that we've had all year that we continually run. Those are on our website.
Yes.
Yeah, we did the mini split thing a little while back. We ended that. You know, going into winter, well, fall, we're not winter yet, but going into fall, we'll probably get some stuff out there here very shortly. We just got back. We took a trip for business work that we got to listen to some really good speakers. Mm-hmm. That, you know, coming back from one of those, you're trying to absorb everything that you learned, and you're trying to come up with new ideas and new ways to run your business and new ways to contact customers and things like that. So I've actually got a meeting scheduled today after lunch. So we'll be looking at that real close and see if we don't have something coming out real soon.
Okay, very good. Excellent. Hey, I asked you before we came on air about like putting mini splits into different areas. So mm-hmm. I want to go ahead and ask this because I feel like we get a ton of questions when it comes to mini splits. Because like you just said a few moments ago, and we're talking to Travis Thompson from Climatech of Professional Air, you can text in your questions, 850-437-1620. That's 437-1620. We will get your texts right here. But you mentioned that in the daytime, it gets warm here still. The sun mm-hmm. pretty much still cooks us.
That's right.
And then at night, it dips. Mm-hmm. Which some people like, some people don't. But during the day, we're still seeing where, especially if you have big windows or mm-hmm. you're in an older home with the thinner single pane windows, then sure. your home starts to heat up pretty fast.
That's correct.
And if you're running that heat at night because your home is also cooling down, there's no, I guess you would call it like a regulation, mm-hmm. you know, then would a mini split be good in smaller rooms, and how small of a room should you go? Like, what's the minimum size for a mini split?
Well, the size is hard to say because it's more about the heat coming into that room. So say you've got a room that's 100 square feet. If that 100 square foot room is in the center of your house, it's going to need almost nothing to regulate the temperature because it's surrounded with conditioned space. Mm. Versus a room that's 100 square foot on the corner of the house that has big plate glass windows in it, got a whole different ball game there. So the heat load coming in, and that's we've gotten into before, like load calculations. That's a huge part of what we like to do to make sure that the houses are sized properly. It's something you should make sure that gets done if you're replacing your system, and it's something that you've got to have done to get a permit. So you want to have that done and make sure it's done right, because all you've really got to do then is match up the math. Doesn't matter how small the room is, you do a load calculation. That mini split you want to put in has a engineered design on it that will tell you how many BTUs it will remove from that room. So that's what it'll relate to, is not really the size as much as it is the heat coming in. We've got the same thing in small rooms where people may have the equipment you've got in here. This equipment puts off a lot of heat.
Yes.
So you've got to account for that. So the same size room would take a lot more air in here than it would if it was just a storage closet and we were just stocking stuff in it. So all that stuff makes a big difference when you're trying to AC a room. But, you know, mini splits, we put them a lot of times in bedrooms, garages that are being enclosed. Even half garages are typically just fine for it. So those type spaces, even down to that, you know, single car garage size or even smaller into a bedroom size, we've got mini splits that go down pretty small.
Okay. Very good. Again, 850-437-1620. Travis Thompson is here from Climatech. I also noticed on your website, climatechproair.com, you also do furnace repair and servicing and replacement. Mm-hmm. How many people have furnaces anymore?
A lot, actually. A lot more than
really?
You would think. Yeah, it's not...
Even
it's,
in this area.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that just love the gas heat. And if gas is available, it is a good source of heat. There's no doubt. So there's quite a few around here. Now, heat pumps are definitely the dominant.
Okay.
But there's, especially down towards East Hill and in the downtown area, there's quite a few out there. You know, you get out on the northern end where you've got to have LP tanks and things like that, it's not nearly as much. But in town, I don't know, I'd guess it probably 15-20% you may see in
wow.
gas. versus electric. Yeah. So it's still.
That's neat.
Yeah.
Is there any like cost effectiveness with going with a furnace versus a heat pump?
It can be. It depends, because the problem we have is the smallest furnaces they make are plenty enough to do the houses we have around here as far as heat goes. But your blower size has to be matched with your AC. So you get into a little bit of that where that can get tricky. One thing I really like that has kind of been a fairly new trend is what we call a dual fuel system. And what that is you've got your gas furnace, but you also have a heat pump. So instead of having the electric heat strips to come on if we get a really cold winter, you've got the gas furnace to come on, and you can have your gas furnace because a lot of people like that really warm air. Mm-hmm. But you can also have the heat pump that on nights like we're talking about now in the 40s, that thing heats your house just fine. The efficiency of that is better than the gas in that situation. But once you get really cold outside, the gas is more efficient. So you can have both.
The blessing of both. I think there's a sermon on that.
This is true.
I love that, though, because there's options. And I think that's one of the things is that sometimes we live in a world where it's like you have to just do it the one way. And if you don't do it this way, then you're just doing it wrong and you're going to waste all your money and just do what everybody else does. But
right.
Really, it's kind of what you're comfortable with. And
I love that. We like to do that to differentiate ourselves. That's one thing that if somebody asked me how we're different from other companies, that to me is probably one of the bigger differences. We like to look at a lot of different avenues and give the homeowner all their choices to look at and decide what they may want to do with their home, because not everybody's the same. Everybody has different concerns. Everybody has different homes. So we try to keep the dual fuels and the gas furnaces, the heat pumps, the mini splits, ERVs, dehumidifiers. All this stuff is part of HVAC, which is what we do. And we try to look at all of it and give options.
Yes. And that's a good thing. I actually grew up and there was a person in our home and they were allergic to any kind of like gas. They couldn't smell it. They got sick. And so I understand everybody is different.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's great to have options. And of course you can go online, climatechproair.com, and you can text with somebody or you can call 850-857-4700 and schedule a service now or ask those questions and see what your options are. Hey, are you holding out on me, Travis?
I wouldn't do a thing like that.
Did you recently win a national award?
Oh, we did.
You are holding out on me.
We did. Building a Higher Standard Award. It's American Standard Award that's given. It's a nationwide award, and we were submitted for it, and we did win it. Matter of fact, I saw my face on a billboard the other day, which was really, really weird.
Yay!
Really weird.
Oh, where is it? I want to go look.
I don't even want to tell you.
I want to see it now. That's awesome. Congratulations.
Oh,
the Building a Higher Standard Award.
That's right.
So did y'all like submit yourselves, or did somebody do it, or is this just like a nationwide thing and in between the industry?
We were submitted by Climatic. Sam, who was on the show last week, actually submitted us in, and they basically submit it's almost like a short story about your company, where it came from, what it stands for, things
sure.
you do in the community to give back. You know, it's kind of a list of things they're looking for. They're not looking for the biggest dealer or the most money spent with them or anything like that. It's just more about the story of the dealership, where it came from, where it's headed, what its morals are, those type things. So it did mean a lot to me, but it's also really weird to talk about. I just
embarrassed you. I'm sorry.
No, it's all right. It's just weird. It's hard to say, yes, we won an award, but we did.
Well, and, one of our listeners recognized you and wanted to recognize that you did win this award. So Building a Higher Standard Award went to Climatech of Professional Air. I love that. That's amazing. And congratulations again. You deserve it. And we do have a question coming in, and I want to let mm-hmm. you know that y'all can still text. We have a few moments left with Travis Thompson of Climatech, 850-437-1620, here on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Are mini splits also heat pumps?
They are. Yes, they can be both. They can be non-heat pump, but that's very rare. Most of them are heat pumps. And due to the way they can modulate the compressor and the indoor fan, they don't have heat strips. We can actually heat with them way down into a lot colder temperatures than we see here. So yes, they are heat pumps for the most part, unless you specifically don't need a heat pump. And they do a really good job of heating, even down into cold weather.
Oh, very good. And so you kind of can have both in a room that's smaller, but like you mentioned, what was it? I'm trying to think of the word. Oh, load. A garage.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so you can heat it because it does get really cold in garages, but then you can also cool it down.
That's right.
Oh, so then, yeah, we talk about mini splits a lot, and I feel like I need to go in. I've been into one room with them in it recently. It was in an Airbnb, and it did cool off very fast once it switched on, like faster than I've ever seen before.
Well, they can, because a lot of times the mini splits, like I said, they modulate the compressor and the fan. So that mini split may be capable of cooling at, say, 12,000 BTUs, and it will kick on at that full capacity. And then once the room cools down, it just starts slowing down to deliver a nice slow airflow, like our variable speed products we put in the residential side and in main units. So yeah, it's able to actually then modulate and not come on and off full blast. So
yeah, that whole on and off thing drives me crazy.
Yes, it can.
Boom, boom. Yep. It's like, you know the noise in your head. You can try to make that sound effect of when the AC turns on and off and it's trying to regulate. And so, yeah, I appreciate that a ton. We have about a minute and a half left. So real quick, I want to go ahead and backtrack because we did talk about getting ready for this cooler weather. We're not going to talk to you for a couple of weeks. And so... one more thing I want to go back and just review when it comes to, you know, the smells. So if people are turning on their heat in the next couple of days, if it's just the burning smell and it kind of goes away, then it's okay.
Yeah. Typically it burns off in a matter of 5 to 10 minutes and then it dissipates and you don't smell it again for the rest of the season because you burn it off.
Right.
Now the heat pumps may not do that until we get into the really cold weather where the emergency heat strips may be kicking on, because that's when they would smell. And then the other smell, if you're having that back and forth heat to cool, and you start smelling that dirty sock smell, that's actually a bacteria growth, and we can take care of that as well. So those are just a few things that you might expect with the weather changing like we've got coming.
Yeah. So use your nose.
That's it.
If your nose doesn't work, ask somebody to help you. And then go online, climatechproair.com, and you can schedule a service. If you do have that stinky sock smell, blech, please, I pray that it doesn't happen to you. But 850-857-4700 is the number to call. Again, I want to mention that Climatech of Professional Air earned the Building a Higher Standard Award. Super cool that we get to have an expert with an award. Actually, you've had several, I believe, under your belt. And so thank you, Travis, for joining me this morning taking time to answer our questions.
Anytime. Thank you.
All right. Hey, we've still got a ton more coming up here on the Pensacola Expert Panel. I'm Jenna Barr. My friend Stephanie is joining me from Emerald Coast Coins. Send in those pictures. We love to see your treasures. 850-437-1620.